James chapter 5. We're finishing up the book of James today. I have some ideas about what I'm going to be starting next week, but if you have something in particular you're interested in, let me know. I'll be glad to consider it. James 5, look at verses 13 through 20. We're going to read all these verses this morning, then we'll stop for a minute of prayer. He says, "Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing psalms of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would rain, and it did. It would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. And again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if any of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover a multitude of sins." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Help us to learn it. Help us to use it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever woken up in the middle of the night with a burden for something that was really bothering you? I think we all have, haven't we? And what did you do at that point? Did you pray, or did you get up and watch some ridiculous rerun that's 50 years old? We should be praying, right? Prayer is the outlet for the soul and the inlet for blessings from God. We're told in the Word to express our needs, our sufferings, our frustrations, our thanks, our praise to God. In fact, our main thought today is this: prayer is practical and powerful for all areas of our life. Now, you know, we've been talking about James, and he's straightforward. And as he talks about prayer, he talks about the occasions of prayer. That's what he starts out with. By the way, I have 2 points today, not 3, so don't get worried that I'm skipping one of them. Occasions of prayer. Now, when he talks about this, he says basically you can pray in any situation. And he lists several here. He says you can pray when you're having trouble. You can pray when you're having trouble. Isn't that when most of us pray? You know, we don't pray about a situation. We just say, well, I'm going to figure it out. We don't pray ahead of time. But when we get into the middle of trouble, then suddenly we got a prayer life. Isn't that true? Hello, I can hear you breathing. Yeah, it is, isn't it? And most of us, that's the only time we pray, when we have trouble or when we're in trouble. And he says we can pray at any time, not only when we're in trouble, but when we're happy. Have you ever prayed when you're happy? Usually when we're happy, we're excited, we forget to thank God about it. You know, I say this often, and it's true. Usually when we do good things, we want to take the credit. Oh, God, that's okay. I got it figured out. I did such a good job that I got a raise. Well, you sure you're the reason for that? Oh, God, I'm feeling great today. I'm healthy. I did the right thing. And so often we forget that He's the one who gives us all those things, and we forget to thank Him when we're happy. Remember what Ephesians 5 says? Look at Ephesians 5, 19 and 20. Turn toward the front of the Bible there to Ephesians. Ephesians 5, 19 and 20. You forgive me if I take my glasses on and off. I can't get along with them. I can't go without them. Ephesians 5, 19, he says this: "Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So sometimes say, wait a minute, people say, no, you're singing, you're not praying. Is singing prayer if you're singing to the Lord? Yeah, any way you communicate with God is prayer. So when we sing these songs about thank you, Lord, for saving me and all that, that's a prayer. We can sing when we're happy. We can pray when we're happy. And sometimes it's one and the same. I hope that if you sing in the shower that, you know, you close the door so nobody has to listen to it. I know when I sing in the shower, it sounds better than me, but most people, they think, you know, somebody's doing their fingers on a blackboard. But he says, look, we can pray when we're having trouble, and that's usually when we pray. If you want to go to the Psalms sometimes, start reading the Psalms from Psalm 1, and you'll find out that most of the Psalms are David, who had trouble, and he's asking God for help. And then at the end of the psalm, or toward the end, you see it shifts, and he begins to praise God for helping him. Sometimes he starts out, oh, my enemies are all against me. Oh, they're all around me. I don't know what to do. God, help me. And then it changes around, and he says, you saved me. You're my rock. You're my salvation. Let's not forget to pray when we're in trouble, but let's not forget to thank him when we're out of trouble and praise him and sing hymns to him and give praise to him. We can talk to him when we're happy. That's in the Psalms as well. And if you want a model for some, you know, some of that Thanksgiving, go to the Psalms and read through the Psalms and see how the psalmist did that. Read some of Paul's prayers and what he's thankful for. He says, you can pray when you're sick. And that's another time we pray a lot, right? Yeah, our prayer life's not that great. Boy, get sick and man, we are on our knees. And we want everybody to pray for us. Well, that's great. Why? Because we need to admit to God, and you've heard me pray this lots of times, Lord, we don't know how to do this. We can't heal this. We can't take care of this. We don't know. Even our doctors may not know how to take care of this. But you do, Lord. You made us. And we pray that if it's your will, that you would heal us of whatever it is. And of course, you know, he talks about the oil and so on, the prayer of the elders. Listen, let me tell you this. You see on TV and you hear on radio why they've got somebody bless this prayer cloth or they got this holy oil they want you to buy from them. You know what heals you? God heals you. God heals you. It's not some oil. It's not some prayer cloth. It's not somebody laying their hands on you. It's God that does that. And that's the point he's saying. Pray to God. Ask him for what you need. And if it's within his will, by the way, we'll talk about that in a minute, then he'll do that. God is the one who does that. God's the one who does that. It's not some man, it's not some oil, some prayer cloth. It's God who does it. You can pray when you are in need of forgiveness. Because he talks about that in 15:16. If, you know, if they sin, they will be forgiven. Do you know the main prayer, the main verse on forgiveness? You should. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from most unrighteousness. Oh, all, I'm sorry. All unrighteousness. And so he says we can pray when we need forgiveness. When he talks about that, by the way, he talks about, notice in verse 15 and 16 there, he says that, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Now, when he talks about confessing our sins to each other, does he mean for us to stand here for an hour and say, oh, this week, you know what, brothers and sisters, I did? I don't think he means for us to air our dirty laundry. When he talks about that, I think he's saying, let's admit our weaknesses. And we can keep each other in check, so to speak. You know, I've got this weakness. Help me in that area. You can share with somebody who's faithful to pray for you, to encourage you. Hey, next time you see me, ask me if I'm doing the right thing in this area. That's accountability. We can do that. But so often, we are too proud to admit our weaknesses. We're too proud to admit that we have a need. And sometimes, I know that happens once in a while, you know, somebody comes to church and they say, we say, where have you been? Oh, I've been in a hospital for 8 weeks. Why didn't you let us know? We wanted to pray for you, encourage you. And sometimes folks don't want to bother other people. But we all have needs, don't we? And we can pray when we need forgiveness. We can pray when we need help. We can help ask others to pray for us. That's part of what he was saying. And the fifth thing he says, we can pray when we're seeking to bring others to God. In verses 19 and 20, he's talking about that. And once in a while, somebody says to me, you know, I have a friend that I've been witnessing to. In fact, this morning, Miss Ellen was sharing that she shared with somebody this week that she hadn't got to share with in a while. And she said, you know, I started talking, and the Holy Spirit just brought the things I needed to say. And even after it was over, she said, well, I thought, wow, can't believe I brought all that up. And so we need to pray about witnessing to other people. We need to pray, number one, I think, for opportunities. Because so often we don't have opportunities to witness for Christ because we're not looking for them. And we're not praying for them. And I think it's because we're afraid that we'll get them, and then we got to say something, you know? We need to pray for opportunities, but we need to pray for wisdom in the way we approach that person, too. Because, you know, I told you about this old lady when I was a new believer. And the way she witnessed was she'd grab somebody by the shoulder and say, you know you're going to hell, don't you? Now, that'll get you running out of church quick, won't it? She did that to Patty one time when she first met her. But we need to have wisdom on how to talk to people and when to talk to people about Christ. You don't want to dump the Bible on somebody. You need to do it as God directs you. And you need to do it slowly. And you need to have the witness behind it. The life behind it. So he says, look, we can pray when we're having trouble. We can pray when we're happy. We can pray when we're sick. We can pray when we need forgiveness. We can pray when we're seeking to bring others to Christ. Because God's the one that does the work in those lives. And if you want a good example of that, read the book of Daniel. King Nebuchadnezzar came to know God because Daniel and his three friends said no to certain things he wanted them to do. And God worked in that man's heart. Now, I know some people say, well, God says anything I ask, he's going to do, right? He owes it to me. Be careful. Because I think the Word of God puts qualifications on that. Effectiveness in prayer depends on several things. Number one, it depends on faith. In chapter 5, verse 15, he says the prayers of a righteous man are effective. But I think it's true, the scripture says that faith prays with these attitudes. Number one, it prays with the attitude that God is able to intervene on my behalf. God is able to intervene on my behalf. If you're praying you don't think God can do it, are you wasting your time? Yeah. It's like coming to me and saying, Brother Sherman, I need $1 million. How about loaning it to me? I'm sorry, you're wasting your time. And you know that too. And I'd be wasting my time asking you too, I think. So if you really don't believe that God can do it, why are you praying? And by the way, that's probably why most of us don't pray. Isn't that right? Why bother? Why am I going to ask the preacher for $1 million? He doesn't have it. Why am I asking God? He doesn't answer my prayers anyway. So we need to approach him with the idea that he is able to intervene in my behalf. In Daniel chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, you can read that a little bit later. But you remember the story about the three young men who would not worship the image? Remember that? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And as they were told to bow to that image when the music started, they didn't do it. They stood there. They didn't have their hand over their hearts. They didn't have their arms linked either. They stood there. And somebody said, I'm telling. So they told the king. The king said, I'm going to give you one more chance. You bow down and you won't die. Otherwise, you're going to go in that furnace. You remember what they said in those verses? They said, King, we don't care what you do to us. We believe that our God can save us from that fire if he wants to. And even if he doesn't, we won't bow down. And you know the rest of the story, don't you? That they were thrown into that fire, and the king looks in and says, whoa, there's four people in there now. God was in there taking care of them. They came out, their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. And everybody there had to say, whoa. The God of these men is special. So they said, God is able to intervene in our behalf. And even if he chooses not to, we'll still trust Him. We may not be praying because we really don't believe God can intervene. Secondly, we need to have the attitude that God is willing to intervene in my behalf. God is willing to intervene in my behalf. Now, you say, why do you say that? Well, suppose you asked me for $1 million to help with your debt, and I had it, which is, like I said, is far cry. If I had $20 million, I could choose not to give it to you, right? I mean, I could choose not to intervene to help you, or I could choose to do that. We might believe that God is able, but we're thinking, well, why should God do that for me? Why would God do that for me? Turn to Hebrews chapter 4, just one book back from James. Hebrews 4, we're finishing up, well, it won't be long, we'll be finishing up Hebrews in adult Sunday school, but one thing he hits on over and over and over and over and over in the book of Hebrews is that Jesus has paid the price for our sins and that He has made us able to be able to come to the throne of God. And in Hebrews chapter 4, look at verses 13 through 16. Hebrews 4, 13 through 16, he says this. Therefore, since we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, who has gone through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then, now notice this is his application then. Let us then approach the throne of God with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. What's he saying there? God is not only able to help us, but he's willing to help us. Our Heavenly Father is looking for a way to help us out. Now, you know as a parent, if you can help your child with something, you're going to do it. You're not always able, but you are always willing to help your child. And that's us. God is our Heavenly Father, and He wants to help us. Remember what He said in James 4, verse 2? You have not because you ask not. How many times do we go without? Because we just don't ask. We don't talk to Him about it. Have you ever had a situation when your child had a need and they were going through something and, you know, school or whatever, and suddenly they come up and say, oh, I've got to have this now. Why didn't you tell me you needed that? I would have taken care of that. But they didn't tell you, so you didn't know. So he says, faith is important. We need to approach God with the attitude that He's able to intervene, that He's willing to intervene. The third one, that God knows best what I need. That God knows best what I need. Now, back in your life somewhere, you wanted something so bad that you said, God, I really need it. Remember that? And you bugged God about it. Oh, I need this. Oh, I need it. I got to have this. Only this. Have you ever prayed like that? And it just went by and you didn't get it because God said, you don't need that. Sort of like when I was a kid, I thought I needed a shotgun at the age of 8. My daddy said, oh, no way, you ain't getting a shotgun. In fact, you're not even getting a BB gun. Because you are not mature enough to use that. And he was thinking about the time that I made a slingshot and I killed a poor red-winged blackbird that did nothing to me. And it was my surprise when I killed him. So, you know, God knows what I need. I think about the Apostle Paul back in 2 Corinthians. Turn there to 2 Corinthians 12 with me. You remember that story, 2 Corinthians 12. The Apostle Paul is talking about the fact that he has a need, but God's not taking care of it. And 2 Corinthians 12, we're looking at verses 7 through 10. He's talking about praying for God to take something away from him. And probably what he's praying about is a problem with his eyes. Because we know that several of the epistles he had somebody else write them for him and he would dictate them. I know how he feels. But my eyes probably nothing as bad as his was. And so he prays and he says, I prayed several times. And God said no. And in verse 7 it says this, to keep me from becoming conceited because of these surpassing great revelations that was given to me, a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. Now, if anybody was in God's will, if anybody should have had an answer to prayer, Paul should have, right? But God said this, look at what he said. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest in me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So, he said, God didn't take this away from me because I needed it. Do you need a weakness? And he said, God gave me this weakness to keep me humble because I could get a big head because God has given me so many things from his word. Now, we always think that everything we want, we need, right? God, I need that big, expensive, blah, blah, blah. No, you don't. You don't get it because when you need it, I'll provide it for you. You know, with your kids, you do the same thing, right? The kids always need something that costs a lot of money. You know, God, I need a car. You're 12 years old. No, I don't think so. Okay. So, the last thing is, faith prays with the attitude that I am willing to accept the outcome of his perfect will. And that's what Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 12. God, I need you to take this away from me so I can be more effective in ministry. And God said, I can make your weakness a strength. I'm the one who does the work. I can use even your weakness for my glory. And Paul says, okay, God, I'm willing to accept the outcome of your will. That's hard to do sometimes. That's hard to do sometimes. Why would you leave me with this problem, God? Because I want that for you. That's my perfect will for you. Effectiveness in prayer depends on faith. And then secondly, in obedience. He says in James chapter 5 here, verse 16, last part, the prayers of a righteous man are effective. The prayers of a righteous man or woman are effective. The reason you may not be getting answers to prayer is you may not be in fellowship with God. Remember what was said in Psalm 66:18. David said it, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If the way is not clear between you and God, if you're out of fellowship, you can't expect an answer to your prayer. Jesus said, John 15:7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. But when we're in fellowship with God, our desire is the same as his. Obedience is important. Effectiveness in prayer, number three, depends on God's will for you. God's will for you. We talked about a little bit about that. In John 5:14, turn to John 5:14 with me. 1 John 5:14. My eyes are playing tricks again. 1 John 5:14. He says there, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. According to His will, He hears us. You may not be getting what you asked for because it's not His will. That's not what He has for you in your future. I remember we were in college, and some of you might remember the car. Was it Tornado? It was one of these fancy cars, you know, that the doors went up. And anyway, it was a real expensive car. This guy who's our speaker drives up in that, and everybody's going, "Whoa, he thinks he's somebody." And as he spoke, he said, "You saw the car I drove up in?" "Yeah, we all noticed it. Most of us driving broken down, you know, things that we had to put together with baling wire." And he said, "I didn't ask for that." But his ministry was with people who had millions of dollars. And he said, "I had an old car that could barely run, like most of y'all." And he said, "Somebody gave me that car so that when I drove up to somebody's million-dollar mansion, it wouldn't be in a broken-down Volkswagen." He said, "I didn't ask for it. That was what God wanted for me." Now, you may be saying, "Hey, I need one of those. I need a Mercedes or whatever." But it might not be your will, His will for you. So as you pray, secondly, it might be His will, but not yet. Have you ever prayed for something and the timing was not right? And later it came into your life? You remember Abraham back in the Old Testament? "God, I need a son." For years and years and years, and he and his wife were in their 90s. And God finally gave him a son when he was 99 years old. It wasn't God's timing before that. The third thing is, it might be His will, but you're not ready to handle it yet. Kind of like me with that shotgun that I thought I needed at 8 years old. You know the story of Moses back in Exodus, you remember, that Moses was called by God to rescue the people of Israel out of Egypt. And he was 40 years old. And you read the story how that he acted on his own and he killed somebody who was mistreating one of the slaves. And he got in trouble with Pharaoh and he had to run away. And for 40 years, God said, "It's not my will yet for you to do that. I'm getting you ready." And he did it by putting him with sheep and goats. He had been a prince of Egypt, and God said, "Now you're going to be a shepherd, and you're going to smell sheep for 40 years until you're ready to lead my people." You see, it was God's will that he do it, but it wasn't the timing yet. He wasn't ready for it. And God had to prepare him. And when he was 80 years old, God said, "Okay, now you're ready. Go get my people." 80 years old. So God's will is important in our prayer life. Maybe it's not His will for you. Maybe it's not His will yet. But maybe, even though it's His will, you're not prepared either. So as we pray, we need to remember that. The fourth thing is that you may not have a relationship with God yet. Not saved. The Bible nowhere promises to answer the prayers of those who have not trusted Christ. Do you hear me? He doesn't say He won't, but He doesn't promise to answer prayer, the prayer of the unsaved, except one prayer. The prayer trusting Christ as Savior. He will always answer that one. And so as we're together, that old hymn about prayer comes to my mind. I woke up thinking about it. sweet hour prayer. Prayer is practical. Prayer is powerful for all the areas of our life. But we need to have the right relationship, the right timing to see answers. Let's bow together for a minute. Maybe you're here today and the reason you're not realizing answer to prayer, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You're not a child of God yet. The most important prayer you can pray is to trust Him as your Savior. And you've heard me say what the gospel is. You might want to pray a prayer like this morning. Heavenly Father, I know I'm a sinner. And I know I can't get to heaven on my own. But I know that Jesus died in my place on the cross. And right now, I'm trusting you alone to forgive me and make me your child. Trust Him as your Savior. Then as we sing in a minute, let us know that by coming up as we sing. Heavenly Father, we have a lot on our minds today and any day. We have people we love who are hurting. We have people who we care about who are grieving. We have things in our own lives that bother us. And it seems sometimes that even though we have these needs, we have a problem coming to you. Help us to realize that you always hear us as your children. And you want to fulfill our needs in the right timing. But Lord, help us never to get to the point where we don't talk to you about things. Help us to talk to our Heavenly Father and to trust Him to take care of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.